There's a river in Mexico, in the middle of which sits a small island. Legend has it that this island, once an ordinary sanctuary, became a magnet for the paranormal after a chilling event that occurred many years ago. The Island of Dolls earned its name for a haunting reason. Its trees are decorated with a collection of dolls. They are everywhere here. Absolutely everywhere. And some say that wherever you go, their eyes follow. But these are not just any dolls. They're said to harbor a disturbing connection to the spirit world. And like many such things, the mystery of it will remain a mystery to us forever. Locals tell stories about this island. Vengeful spirits, restless souls, a haunting past that refuses to fade away. They don't dare venture close because they believe the dolls themselves to be possessed, crying out for attention and company, looking for anyone to visit them, to read about them, to know about them. I personally remember the way I felt when I first heard this story. And there are many, many like it. Maybe the next one will be from you. I'm Albie Robles, and I want you to scare me. Tim DiMicelli is a man of many trades. He freelances as a web admin, a gamer through and through, but also an avid mental health advocate. Tim is also filled with stories and experiences. Some of these stories and experiences are very, very interesting, as you're about to learn.
Hi, my name's Tim DiMicelli. I am a IT support specialist and web developer. And I actually dealt with paranormal activity for many years, as I was talking to some friends recently about. I have delved into understanding philosophical ideas, ideologies, such as Eastern philosophy comparatively to Western. And I have a fun time dissecting how things work. You could say that when I was a child, I would break things apart and then put them back together, but not always the parts were there to put back together, as we kids do. It's been a lot of fun and extremely stressful when these paranormal activities occur for me, because I'm not really used to it, but yet I have to be accepting of it, such as dealing with channeling energies and such, like my friend who would walk underneath a lamp and all of a sudden it would pop and it would be his energy pulling it into him. I wouldn't say I'm like that kid from Sixth Sense, which has, you know, the ability to see people. I mean, now these days, with having passed on once, I mean, I've noticed people I've talked to who have had a brief stint where they die and then come back, usually are touched by an ability to see the undead or the ghosts around you. Because there are ghosts around us and no souls and spirits and whatever else. I've typically have seen a cat for many years. And I used to attribute that to being tired. Now I kind of attribute it to, you know, actually being touched as a child, but also now I see people more so now than I ever have. So when I was youthful as a child, I definitely would be susceptible to at least the cat, but now I can actually see people. I have a mental health issue or issues, and I'm diagnosed with schizoaffective. I was diagnosed with schizoaffective schizotypal. I pushed for a reevaluation about a year ago, which found out that I am bipolar type 2. But I deal with bipolar type 2 because I always had to make sure I'm not the disorder that I deal with. I deal with bipolar type 2, unspecified traumatic disorder, which is similar to PTSD, but has some of the facts of PTSD, along with other things in that gamut. I also deal with unspecified personality disorders, so I can kind of disassociate in some fashion. Along with that, I have suicidal tendencies and experiences. So I have attempted to commit suicide numerous times over my lifetime. I have been put in a hospital, whatever else. I'm not one to be shy about talking about it because I actually am an advocate for mental health issues. I was diagnosed with 13, very young age. I'd actually been put into therapy at a young age too, at age 10, by my mother. And my mother's passed, my father's still alive. And it's interesting dichotomy between the two of them, two very opposite people. And here I am, this product of them. But what had happened was my mother, back in December, that's it. Back in December, I was having a fight with a friend of mine, very dear friend, kind of someone who I have gotten very close to and still I'm close to, thankfully, today. She and I had gotten very suicidal in our talks. She got to the point where she was going to commit suicide. I got to the point where I was just like throwing in a towel. Luckily, I got her help, but I was still in that dark place. So I took two pills I knew would interact improperly, where they could actually stop my heart because their interaction together. And I took them. And the next thing I know, when I had gone to sleep, I find myself in a white place, very white and bright. And I remember there being a tower that looked like a what you'd see on a ribbon, you know, it kind of curved around and it was pink. And then there were two towers to the left, one tower to the left, one to the right. And there are people around me. And they're like, why are you here? You shouldn't be here. You're too soon. And I knew I died. And the story went that I had been pulled into, my soul had been kept from going fully into heaven. And I was thrown back into my body because it was too soon. It was not right. I kind of broken the rules of God, so to speak, how he has its plan for everybody and such. So what happened was I woke up the next day and I went, okay, I passed, didn't I? And I verified it with some people and they're like, yeah, you did cross over. So since that point, when I mentioned the cat, I can now actually see people every so often out of the corner or peripheral, like right about here. Let's see, say I'm looking like this. Right about here, over, I can catch people, catch glimpses, and they're there. I know they are because I don't just see a shadow like I used to with the cat, the black cat. I actually see colors to the person. I can astral project. I know I do. I know I naturally do. And I was talking to my therapist actually about this, and she's receptive to it, thankfully. And so when you have an astral projection compared to a dream, two very separate entities there. A dream, you don't feel as tangible, but it can be vivid. Mm-hmm. But when you have astral projection, you're vivid along with, here are some keys. Here, I can feel these actually. I can feel this in my hand. This feels very tangible when you're astral projecting. Unless you're astral projecting in this realm itself, then things are still a bit too foggy. But when I passed, I know it wasn't delusional because I know there are two pills that actually were told to me that their interaction would kill me possibly if I took them. So that's one thing. The second thing is delusions, I don't get those. I deal with paranoia. Now, there's a difference between delusions and paranoia. A paranoid delusion is kind of along the lines of, oh, I'm going to be hurt. I'm going to be attacked. I have people across my street watching me. That's a delusion. Now, paranoia is also similar along the lines, but delusions are, they're coming to get me right now. They're coming for me, and they're going to take me away, and I'm going to be locked away, and all this other stuff. Now, delusions, though, can have basis in reality in that they're fear. You've been hurt so many times, you're going to have a delusion to protect you against it again. I have a delusion
or paranoia to cops because I had been arrested once. You know, so, and it wasn't a pleasant experience. So, but I know it was not a delusion, was not a hallucination, yet I know I went to sleep. I know I didn't wake up from that sleep until that next morning. So I know it's either, so we can equate it to possibly a dream, but it was too tangible. Too many people that were around me that I knew. My mother was there, and she's been dead for 13 years. And I have another story. Okay, so this is back about, oh, how long ago? 1999. And I was working at Associated Press in New York City. And I had been on the internet for about 4 years by that point. I was on the internet. I had been doing IRC, internet relay chat, heavily, role-playing, met some people, had some girlfriends by that point. And so at this point, I had met a woman 20 years older than me that I fell in love with. She's 20 years older than me. Okay. I was about 19, 18 at the time. And she and I get together. We meet up, you know, for our first time, our first meet and greet, so to speak. And I flew up to see her in Auburn, New York, where she lived. And so I'd gone to her place and we go into her bedroom just chatting. All we're doing is chatting, nothing sexual. And I brought with me a book on this trip by Hieronymus Bosch. Hieronymus Bosch is a Renaissance or pre-Renaissance artist who dealt with a lot of angelic and demonic artistry. So I had gone out to get the book, actually, out, you know, left the bedroom. She's in the bedroom. I go into my backpack, get it out of the backpack. I walk back into the room and I feel a weight to the air first off. Something's not right. Now, I know this woman before me has MPD, multiple personality disorder. I had met or talked to at least two, if not three, of the personalities that she dealt with. So one's a child, one's a teenager, and one is her present personality. What comes out is, would you like a bird? And it waves its hand, and I say it because it was not my girlfriend. It was something else. And I knew it. And there's a presence definitely there. So it waved to the window, and at the window came a bird to the middle sill. Birds don't fly to the middle sill. They go to the bottom sill. So to me, that was a bad sign. Something here was trying to get something from me. And so it said, would you like a bird? And the conversation went from there. And I said, no. Because thankfully, I already had a bird. And kind of naively, I kind of said, okay, I have a bird. I don't need another bird. We're good. Thankfully, I said no, because I'm going to jump forward for a few seconds here. We're going to jump forward to when I talked to somebody further about this. And they said, oh, if somebody offers you a bird, they're trying to trade you a bird for your soul. And so I found out that this entity was trying to trade me a bird for my soul. And we jumped further to, well, a year ago, 2 years ago, a friend of mine said to me, well, why didn't it offer you more? And I'm like, well, why should it? If I'm easy prey, it'll go for the easy payment, right? So there I was with my girlfriend and this entity in her, and it calls itself Gabriel. And I think, okay, Gabriel, Archangel. Because that's one of the few things that was going through my head was, okay, Hieronymus Bosch, demons, angels, this comes into play. So my mind did 2 plus 2 equals 4, or basically 5, and it did a leap of faith to Gabriel the Archangel. Now, I thought for the next 2 years I was with this woman that this entity that was coming to visit me was Gabriel Archangel. And we would have talks, actually, talks about different things. And mind you, it would talk about humans as though we were subservient or down to us. So we call me a monkey or you a monkey. So we call us monkeys. And to me, that meant, okay, it's pissed off at, you know, humans having souls. Because part of the angel war between Lucifer and God was because humans had souls. They had purpose. They had destiny. We have the ability to create our future, so to speak. Even though it's supposed to be written, we kind of create it as we go. And Lucifer and his group of warring angels wanted freedom from being henchmen in some ways. If you think about it like that. So what happened was, you know, we talked and it lasted about 15 to 20 minutes, this talk. And it just revolved around it toying with me, playing word games. And thankfully, I had then a good semblance on, I would say, linguistics. And I knew it was a different personality or different person or entity because of the tone of voice it had. It was very monotone. There can be a definite delineation between voices, and the childlike voice that she would have is definitely one that was her dumb 10, 12-year-old personality. But this is not that. This is a very monotone and very cocky personality that came through. And when it left, and each time it would leave her body was burning hot. She would have this heat emanating from her body after it had left. And now, like years later, after having talked to someone and then saying, that wasn't Gabriel. That was something pretending to be Gabriel. That was a demon. And I'm like, shift to now is like looking back, you kind of put the two and two together. Like, okay, train for a soul. Well, angels don't train for souls. Body heated up. Fire and brimstone comes to mind there. You know, a demon's more heated than an angel, from what I would gather, and the angel would not hurt a human body if it entered it, whether an archangel or a regular angel worker. So it's definitely been an interesting experience just looking back in that experience over the years. And I know it was at this point now I can accept and know it was a demon or demonic entity that was a former angel that came to me. Yeah. When you look at hell, there are not just the demons that we call demons that are archangels or angels that were part of that war, but fills up hell is also other creatures that are not angels. You know, you have incubuses and succubuses and all these other entities that live there. And they actually try and, you know, if you think about it, coexist in some fashion. If you think of the term the nine hells, well, it's kind of true. Well, I'll go on this demon idea for a little bit longer. So about a year ago, year and a half, here in my town, there's a mental health facility. And I had gone to it January of 2021. And I was at the end of the hallway room. And I had a person across from me who actually I found out was part of a cult or had been used by a cult. He had all these tattoos that showed to me signs of demonic or angelic affixation. And so he would actually have a good jump between in his personality from like a childlike talking to a teenage that didn't seem to understand or grasp things to somebody who grasped everything that was happening just then and there. So he would jump between these two personas. And he was at the end of the hallway with me, but across the room, across the room across the way. I had gone to sleep, and I believe what happened was I asked for rejected at that point, and I found myself in a tomb of some kind. Now, there's all these sarcophagus around me, all these sarcophaguses that I am looking at, and I see this dirt, and I see a shape in the dirt, and I reach down to pick it up. And as I'm talking about this right now, I'm getting more of the memory back to me. What it was a V-shaped pentagram, basically, inverted, because what I could tell in the dirt were parts of the left and right side pentacles broken off. So it looked like a V rather than the actual pentagram, inverted pentagram that we're used to seeing, which actually is in my town on a Masonic temple. So that's a fun thing to think about there too. But that inverted pentagram, which had the two points broken off, and somehow I just knew it was broken off. And I think it was somewhere in the dirt that was around this piece. And I picked it up and I turned to my left and I go to another sarcophagus and I lean against it because I'm thinking to myself, oh, I'm going to clean this place up a little bit, get better, you know, worship the old dead. And I feel a presence behind me, a very dark presence. And I hear a growl. And then I feel from my neck, going across my neck, down along my shoulder, a licking by a long pointed tongue. And at that moment, when it left me, that tongue exited off my body, I woke up. Or found myself back in my body. And I'm breathing hard. I am frantic. I am petrified here at that point when I'm waking up. That sensation along my neck to my shoulder did not leave me for 3 to 4 months. So I was basically plagued by that touch of that demon. That's one story. When I tell people these stories, I have to be aware that some people will be just say, dude, that's bullshit. Or I have to say, hopefully somebody will be receptive to these stories because I know I have a purpose in life and not is to be this medium or anything, but I look at it as I have experiences that have come to me for a reason. The past years, since I was a child to now, was always a black cat. And I always associated it with a shadow of a cat that followed me around when I was getting tired. And I get overly tired and I think, oh, it's just me being tired. Well, no, it's a black cat that's following me around. And it's not an actual cat. It's a spirit of a cat. It's Bast cat. It's a Bast, the goddess of the undead in Egyptian mythology. Bast, the cat goddess. And I have two cats of my own. I have two dogs of my own. I have a dog right here laying right next to me. And she's all relaxed. And I have my cat somewhere in the house with two cats. And I will say this, is that after my near full death experience back in December, I can say recently, about 2 weeks ago, I'm standing outside my window here. And I'm doing the trash, cleaning up my car a little bit, whatever it was. And I could see out of the corner of my eye, a man in overalls with some orange in his shirt, just standing there for a brief second. It was like maybe 1 to 2 seconds I saw him. I said, hey, I see you. All good. You know, and I'm trying to be honest here and say, I'm not trying to be scared of it. Why should I be scared of it unless you're going to be attacking me? You know, I was honoring it by saying, hey, I know you're there. I respect that you're still here on this planet when you shouldn't be, you know? And I've met mediums who actually can talk with other people or people of past. I talked to somebody who was able to channel my mother, not channel her into her, but talk with her and get emotions and sensations from her. Like, so when I asked her about, you know, what does my mom think about my wife? And she said, she's nothing. You know, when I said about my father, she's like, oh, she's upset with you. Or not upset, but she's appreciative of you taking care of him, but she's upset with him, you know? And so it's like emotions come through for those. But with what I'm seeing here is like what I see and visualize is out of the corner of my eyes, because right now I'm still on a stage of accepting and disbelieving. I still have that logical part of my brain going, yo, Tim, this is not real. Or I'm trained to believe it's not real. Because our society tells us, hey, this is not real. This is a fantasy that you're having. You know, you tell us. So I'm just going to go deviate for a second here. Our culture teaches us, at least Western culture, teaches us to think inside the box, right? We are taught to stop listening to instinct from childhood till now, till adulthood, to stop listening to instinct, to stop listening to intuition and follow logic. But logic only does you so much good. You can do 2 + 2 = 4, well, sure. But when you have your choice between, you know, run or fight, instinct says, say, run, and you're better to run. But when it says, oh, don't be afraid of the ghost, well, don't be afraid of the ghost. Why? Unless it's going to try and hurt you, why would it? Yeah, so that's something you want to run away from. But why run away from somebody that's out in the sunlight that shows himself to you? Well, they're showing themselves to you for a reason. That spirit's trying to say, hey, something happened in this area where you're living that needs you to help me fix it or whatever, you know? And it's that phase for me where I've been, you know, it's been 4 months and I'm starting to start slowly accept it. So who knows what will happen in a year from now? You know, will I be seeing them constantly? Like Sixth Sense. That child in Sixth Sense, he sees them because he's believing. He knows they exist. He doesn't want to believe. He just believes. And there's a difference between wanting to and believing. When you want to, you're still having doubt. You're still questioning it. But when you believe it, it's concrete. It's believable. It's solid. It's tangible to you.
Do you want to try to scare me? If you've had or have heard about a paranormal experience you'd like to share, or if the area you live in has a particularly scary legend or lore, I want to hear it. Send an email to scareme@albirobles.com. Scare Me is produced by Albi Robles Voice and features original music by Adam Clifton. Additional sound beds are provided by Stephen D. Voiceovers. You can follow us on social media. We are Scare Me Pod on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. For voiceover booking information or to inquire about having your own podcast produced, go to www.albirobles.com.